I would like the ship to go. Now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discussing Trek. Today, we're going to talk about our favorite time travel episodes in Star Trek. As always, I'm your host, Clarence. I'm joined by my fellow co-hosts, slash Trekkies, starting with Kyle Jones. How you doing, man?
As always, glad to be talking with the two of you, and interesting to hear your thoughts on time travel.
And also the podcast, we have none other than Ryan Hart. Larry, how you doing, man?
I am hanging in there.
Let's get into our main topic, which is time travel in Star Trek. So, Kyle, you're the Doctor Who guy. What is it about time travel that sparks curiosity and makes you really want to dive in?
All right. So from the context of Doctor Who, so I'm going to answer your question and turn your question into a question for you guys. So in the context of Doctor Who, the premise of Doctor Who is all about time travel. Anywhere, anytime, any place he can go, he can do. You know, that's the premise of Doctor Who. Yes, we've talked on Discussing Who. Sometimes time travel shows can be done well. Sometimes time travel shows can be done not so well. My question I want to turn around to the two of you guys is, does a space exploration premise need time travel? And if so, why?
I think it does need it because space exploration is exploring the unknown, right? And part of the unknown is, of course, seeing what's out there, finding new technologies, finding things that we've never seen before. And one of the big things, too, is everybody thinks, and it's in the mythos, if only I could go back and do that differently. And what sci-fi gives us a chance to do is to see what that would be like and see what the ramifications would be if you could actually time travel, if you could go back to a point in time and fix. I mean, that's exploring the great beyond right there.
For me, it's less about it being a Star Trek thing and more about it being a great science fiction trope. How can we change the future? You know, and the different reasons people try to change the future, lost loved one, want to be richer. It's all types of reasons that you can do it. And when it comes to sci-fi, it doesn't matter for me if it's Star Trek, if it's The Outer Limits, if it's Twilight Zone, it doesn't matter. I just love that science fiction trope. And I love when it really breaks my brain. If it manages to break my brain, I feel like that it was successful. Entertaining me and also making me mad at the same time. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Larry, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so my first one is The Children of Time, Deep Space Nine. And that is, of course, the one where the Defiant is thrown back in time and they actually meet their ancestors. But in order for those people to still be born, they have to go back in space so they can be thrown back in time.
Oh, boy.
And the Klingons, there's a great line by some of the Worf's descendants. They said, I would rather go out fighting as a warrior than just not ever have been born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great episode. It's the one I told Kyle one day we were talking, and I said, this is the one where Odo was like a mass murderer. But I mean, he was, because in the show, spoilers, Odo, of course, reprogrammed the older Odo. Because Odo can't hold his form yet.
Odo.
I like that. I like it. Print it on a t-shirt. He changes the guidance system so they don't go back because he wants to save Kira's life. And it basically wipes out thousands of people. But it's a wonderful episode.
I'm going to have to admit, this is one that you mentioned this last week. I don't remember this episode at all. I'm looking up here. It's a season 5, episode 22, Children of Time, which aired May 5th, 1997. I don't know why it's forgettable to me. It has great ratings here on IMDb, but man, I don't remember this episode at all.
It's really a tearjerker, especially with Chief O'Brien.
All right. Well, I guess I'll give my number 5 here. I think I'm going to go with, and there's very little time travel in this episode, but it's more like a end of a time travel event. I'm going to go to Discovery, That Hope Is You, Part 1. a lot of reasons that I really love this episode. This episode, you get to see Shanika Martin Green, Michael Burnham, in one of her most joyous moments when she's finally realizes she made it to the future. And, you know, in this episode as well, you get to see a lot of good moments with her discovering what the future is, discovering for the first time, and us too. So for me, this one of the most exciting moments in Star Trek Discovery, just because it's the unknown. We're not in the past anymore. I don't know if everyone loves how, you know, this future in the 32nd century turned out, but I gotta admit, on this first episode, just jumping 900 years in the future and seeing this new take, I love this episode. It's one of my favorites in Star Trek Discovery. So, and you know, we start to rebuild the Federation in this episode as well. So That Hope It's You Part One is my number five. All right, Larry, hit us with your next one, sir.
My next one is, of course, going to be Star Trek Voyager Endgame, the series finale of Star Trek Voyager. Nothing better than an honest to God straight up time travel. I mean, and they just threw all the rules out. Where was the, here's a good one. Ask yourself this question. Where were the temporal time agents that we saw like three times on Voyager? Where were they when she did this?
Out of her way, because she was on a mission and they weren't going to stop her.
Apparently, this is what you were talking about tropes, Clarence, about, hey, yeah, we have people, they police time. Where were they when I did this thing?
Yeah, just think about the rules. The rules are great to their, we need to tell a story that the rules would mess up, you know?
Yeah, so we're just going to forget that.
And then this was a case where you could say that what Janeway was doing was altruistic by getting her crew home sooner. But at the same time, it's like butterflies. Like, what else are you changing along the way? Whose life will not exist because of what you're doing now?
It's true. How many kids would have been born in the Delta Quadrant in all those years who now won't be born? Because it's like we said, don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Because it's a TV show.
It is like, in a sense, a lot of the great Star Trek episodes are like what if episodes to me. What if we would have went down this path and how are we going to fix it? Now, sometimes the way they fix it is problematic, but, you know, other times it's pretty cool. Marge mentions that another Voyager episode is Relativity. That's the one, I believe, where they were going and erasing entire existences.
Yeah. Kirkwood Smith.
Yes. And was it Chakotay came on to, he kind of expressed the interest in it. Like, oh, I got my charts here. You know? If you map this out, we can, yeah, you know. That was a fun one. That's one of my favorites, actually. Yeah.
They actually continue that in Star Trek Online. They brought the character back and had Kirkwood Smith come on and do the voice.
Really?
Yeah. It was the same as the Voyager episode, but they showed us what happened in between, like what we didn't see before he actually goes to try to change.
Yeah, sometimes I want to dive into that beta canon because I feel like they have some strong stories.
They have some really strong stories.
So let me go ahead and get my next one. Now, this is one of my Dark Horse picks, and that's because I just saw this episode. It was written by DC Fontana, airing on September 15th, 1973. It's an animated series episode, Yesteryear. This is one that, and it kind of shocked me because it's an animated show that broke my brain. It broke my brain. So this is one where we dive back into the Forever Gate. Which I guess in this episode, the Forever Gate is all of a sudden their friend. Because I know in the City of Edge of Forever, they had to kind of time their jump into the gate and all that stuff.
The Guardian of Forever.
The Guardian. What did I say?
Forever Gate.
In this episode, Spock is going back in time to him and Kirk are going to observe Orion history. But for some reason, Spock is not present to save himself as a child. So he gets killed. This one, a lot of the logic wasn't perfect in this. It definitely broke my brain, but it's a fun episode. Spock goes back to see his younger self. He remembers that he was saved by his cousin named Selik when he was a little kid. And then Kirk asks him, oh, did he look like you? He's like, come to think of it, he did. So yeah, it's just the second episode of the animated series. It's an easy watch, you know, less than 30 minutes. It's kind of fun. So if you have time, I definitely check it out. But also, this is one of the problems I have with some of these time travel episodes. Why would you allow someone to go back and erase you from existence? So there's another first officer when Spock gets back to the future. His name is Thalen. He's an Andorian. He allows Spock to just go back and, you know, virtually erasing his existence by saving himself. I have a problem with that sometimes.
But did he erase his existence, or would he just be somewhere else instead of first officer?
Hopefully he would be somewhere else, but they didn't really explain in an episode unless I missed it. So maybe he survived. All right. Since we're down to our number three pick.
Yep.
I'll let you take it, Cal Jones.
All right. So number three for me, Clarence, was your number five. That Hope Is You Part One from Discovery Season 3. The reason I liked it was because I thought it freed Discovery from the crutch that it had of being futuristically stuck in the past. So I think from a storyline perspective, it freed them up to do other things and not be tied to so much of her being Spock's sister that you didn't know about, etc., so forth and so on. So that's my number three, That Hope Is You Part One.
So you're saying the trip to the future was a good thing?
In my opinion, yes.
I kind of agree. And I just love how season two of Discovery was pretty much the backdoor pilot for Strange New Worlds.
True. And I loved season two of Discovery. Don't get me wrong. In many ways, I think I like season two of Discovery better than I liked, especially the season that we had the burn, which wasn't that season three?
Yeah. Yes, that was season three. Yeah.
So, you know, whenever I'm saying I really like that they went to the future, I'm actually also saying I like season two better. But I, from a storyline perspective, if I were trying to write for Discovery, I feel like it gives more of a possibility from a storyline perspective.
Larry, come on. What you got next, sir?
Okay, now we're stepping it up to the big dogs on the block, okay? So the next one for me is going to be Yesterday's Enterprise.
That's a good one.
If anybody knows, of course, the synopsis on that is the Enterprise meets the predecessor, the USS Enterprise 1701C, which comes through a time portal, and it changes their future. And they are actually in a war with the Klingons. And I mean, this episode, plus we get the return of our beloved Denise Crosby as Tasha Yar, and Whoopi Goldberg as Guinan gets a ton of screen time in this one. Well deserved. But I truly, truly love that episode.
I'll add to that. I say that the bookend for Guinan is part what makes this episode so great for me, is just the way Whoopi Goldberg played the knowingness of Guinan in this episode is why I think it's great.
Yeah, I also add this is an episode that packed so much lore and things I never really even thought of. Were we really thinking about what happened to the Enterprise C? I guess we were, but man, the way they flushed out that part of the story and also just bringing a added mystery to Guinan. You know, we were already intrigued by her, but this episode definitely knocked it out the park.
And we still, in season three of Picard, we got to see a statue dedicated to Rachel Garrett, the captain of the Enterprise C. And again, talk about beta canon. This episode has spawned so much beta canon, I won't even try to get into it, but it's a ton.
And I'll go to my next one, which is another Voyager episode, Time and Again, season one, episode four, which aired January 30th, 1995. This is a forgettable episode for most people, but it was one of the first episodes where I just was kind of sitting there like, how, why, and my brain was hurting. And this is the one when Janeway and Paris are transported back in time through a subspace fissure or time fissure on this planet that they went to investigate because it had exploded. So they went to investigate this planet because it was pretty much decimated. You know, once they got down there, Janeway and Paris got sucked in through one of these fissures to the past. And we pretty much spend the whole episode with them trying to get back to their timeline that they got sucked in from. But in one of those paradoxes, what they were doing to try to get back is what actually caused the situation in the first place. And again, it's one of those what if episodes, because once they stop what they were doing, we then cut to a scene where Voyager is traveling in space. And I think it was Harry that read the readout and said, oh, there's a planet down here with such and such technology. And they just kept going. So they never really stopped. There's several Voyager episodes like that, by the way, where you go through this whole episode and you find out nothing really ever happened because it hurts your brain. I'll just stop right there.
I don't even remember that episode. I like have no memory of that episode. I'm going to look Voyager, that man. Up.
I mean, it's probably very forgettable, but again, it really broke my brain. And it was a nice episode where you got to see Janeway and Paris kind of go off on their own. And wear some weird costumes.
I want to see it now. Sorry, Kyle.
No. You're good because I'm actually going to steal from you as I have already stolen from Clarence. As you guys will remember, when we reviewed yesterday's Enterprise, that was of my asking because I wanted to see that. And that is my number two, yesterday's Enterprise, for all the reasons that Larry said, plus the tidbit that I added a few minutes ago. So yes, my number two, yesterday's Enterprise.
Awesome.
Larry, do you want to take us to your number two, or would you like me to go ahead and go first?
You go ahead, sir.
My number two is going to be Timeless. Of course, this is the episode where Harry Kim and Chakotay attempt to go back and right the wrongs of their slipstream drive, which awesome seeing the slipstream drive come back in Discovery. But yeah, this is an episode where they're almost celebratory as we kind of go back and forth to the past and, you know, the present of them creating or being able to harness this new technology that they actually got from the Dreadnought ship, I believe. It's the ship that's in Prodigy that Admiral Janeway is on. But yeah, they're almost celebratory about this technology and they're going to get home. And if one thing you can remember about Voyager is that Harry Kim was always so adamant to get home at all costs. And there was a phase variance in this slipstream drive, and he was not going to let this stop him from getting home. And so it all went bad. Chakotay and Harry Kim were ahead in the Delta Flyer to monitor the variations so they can adjust. But Voyager winds up crashing on this planet. You get this iconic scene of the Voyager being under a sheet of ice, just beautiful. And this whole episode is about righting the wrong, directed by LeVar Burton. Another good thing about this one, you even get a cameo from LeVar trying to stop this thing. So yeah, just such a great episode. And one of those episodes that's self-serving, you know, they go back to save their own crew. Yeah, just a wonderful episode, man. One of my favorites.
I adored this episode. It really came close to making my list. I love the fact, you know how many times Voyager changed the future?
So many times.
I literally thought that the next generation were bad. Voyager was the biggest offender. No wonder they hate Janeway at the time.
Yeah. Department of Civil Investigations.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you guys a question. And I really don't know the answer to this. That really is why I'm asking it. My question is, at the time of Voyager, was Voyager's Delta Quadrant, as far as the fans knew about Star Trek lore, was the Delta Quadrant equivalent of Discovery going so far into the future?
Well, I think it was their attempt to seek out new life, explore strange civilization. Yeah, get away from everything else.
Right, but as far as we as the fans at the time, was there a lot known about the Delta Quadrant? You know, we all know what's in the Alpha Quadrant, et cetera, and so forth. But at the time of Voyager coming along, and you're not in the B Quadrant or the C Quadrant, you're in the Delta, you know, the Quadrant. Yeah. You're far away. And was that the great unknown, I guess, at the time?
I would say so.
Cool.
But I think what was cool about Voyager as opposed to Discovery being way in the future is that you still got nuggets at home. you still got Troy popping up, Barkley popping up. You know, they're calling Tom Paris's dad. They're calling to try to get them home, and it's a disconnect, but it's not so far to where, you know, there's no chance of having that kind of integration with what else is going on in Star Trek.
Cool.
What you got, Larry? Let's hear the number two, sir.
Okay. So the number two that I had comes to us from Deep Space Nine, and it will make you cry because it is a tearjerker, and it's a phenomenal. It's one of the best episodes in Star Trek to me, period. And that's saying something. And we had a guest star who is Star Trek royalty, The Visitor, where we see Tony Todd come on and play the older version of Jake Sisko, who is dealing all these years later with the untimely death, at first we believe it to be, of his father, Captain Benjamin Sisko. Later we find out that he did not die per se, but he is out of phase. And he basically, because of his tether with Jake, they were together when it happened, he comes back to Jake every so often. Jake is the tether. And spoilers abound, as in the words of the great Kyle Jones. He finds out that the only way to sever this connection and, you know, put things right, it's emotional, is that he has to take his own life, and then everything will reset. He has to do it while his father is with him. And it's a wonderful scene of a father. And I told you, I don't watch it because I cry every time I watch it.
That is deep. I don't remember that episode, but wow, just hearing you explain it, that is deep.
Oh, you should watch it, Kyle. It's
what do you think the message of that episode was? Because it's some really hard topics going on there. I mean, taking his own life to right the wrongs, to right the timeline. What was the message in that?
I always got the unconditional love he had for his father, and that, you know, and the everybody on that show, even though a lot of people did not have a lot to do, like Nana Visitor is Kira. I mean, we already talked. She knocks it out of the park every time. But the relationship she and Terry Farrell as Dax had with Jake, and how they mothered him and took care of him. Again, it's emotional for me. It's a phenomenal episode.
You know, just from listening to you, I think it is maybe a story that, and having probably seen it and don't remember it, it sounds like a story that the prime focus is on the sacrifices that we make for those who we love without even thinking of it. You know, things that you wouldn't normally think to do. Not saying that what you're doing is a bad thing. That's not what I mean. But the things that we do without even thinking that feel ingrained simply because it is for your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whoever they may be. It's just part of our fabric of who we are.
Yeah, Wingray says something here that makes a lot of sense. Ben went on remembering this for the rest of the series. I'm trying to remember all the instances where this happens, where we have this big what if episode. Something happens. It all gets corrected by the end of the episode. We go on with the rest of the series. But there's a few times where the person remembers everything they went through. And this is definitely one of them. I'm trying to remember others.
La'an, we just saw in Strange New World, where she remembered what happened in that alternate with the alternate Kirk.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that really tortured her. Yeah. Now that you mention it, man.
And you guys were talking about tropes earlier on. This is a trope that is, if it is done well, serves as a good way for character development.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those are always good ones, especially, you know, in those cases where none of this stuff really happened and we're back at the beginning. Like, and it's only one or two people that remember anything that happened over the course of the episode. Those are always
great. I got to throw some Doctor Who in there. It's kind of like the greatness when Amy was dealing with the guilt that she killed Madame Kevorkian, and River tells her what was an aborted timeline. It never happened. She says, I remember it. So it happened.
If anyone wants to go watch that, that is Series 6. That's the 2013 series of Doctor Who, and that is the finale called The Wedding of River Song.
Are we ready to get in our number one, guys?
Yes.
Kyle, why don't you start us off? All right.
So for me, my favorite time travel episode of all time, Time of the Doctor. Oh, excuse me. Not Doctor Who. Voyager Endgame. I love Voyager. And when they came home at the end and they gloriously came home, I was crying like a little kid, you know, that lost his favorite toy. I loved it. Break canon, break time, break whatever. Two Janeways are better than one. I love that episode.
Indeed. That's a great one. Great finale, man. I will say Star Trek has some really, really solid finales.
It was great. I mean, Endgame, there's like you just said, Kyle, I already said my piece, but how can you not love it? Even though the guys at the time, so I ain't letting them get away with that. I'm just like, y'all just lazy. Y'all knew Janeway was changing time again.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything.
Yeah. And man, just those shots of Voyager getting home, you know, flying.
Yeah.
Past Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Good stuff, man. All right. I will get my number one right now. And that's going to be Trials and Tribulations. This
really
such a great episode. This episode originally aired on November 4th, 1996 is DS9 season 5, episode 6. Of course, is a play on the classic episode Trouble with Tribbles. And man, this is just a fun episode. I think the technical brilliance of this episode is almost unmatched at the time, because they are going and interacting in the midst of legends. And I know these guys had to have fun to play. No, they play dress up every day, but to actually play dress up of, you know, something they probably watched as younger people and got to interact with the likes of Kirk and Spock and the rest of the Enterprise crew. Just a really good story. We get to see Worf talk about, we don't talk about those times and with the human looking Klingons, and just a great episode tying back to Darwin, which was same actor, Charlie Brill coming back to reprise that role these years later. And also dealing with the orb of time. You know, one of the great things about Deep Space Nine are the orbs. And this playing and all that. Just a wonderful, wonderful episode. Larry, you ready to take us to your number one, sir?
Mine is one I'm shocked that we didn't have before. My number one greatest is City on the Edge of Forever. You have, of course, Joan, and this won an award back in the day when science fiction won nothing. You had the great legendary Joan Collins on the show, and who, of course, we know played a lady who was, you know, about a peace movement, but it just happened at the wrong time, and it would have delayed America. Well, I'll start at the beginning. Of course, we had the Guardian of Forever. We've already touched on that with Clarence, and the Guardian Forever says, of course, I have waited for a question before your son burned hot in space. You know how long that is? This thing is literally billions upon billions of years old. And when they went back, the name Edith Keeler, of course, because Dr. McCoy accidentally injected himself, went crazy, and they jumped through time.
Animals!
Oh, that was a little bit overacted.
It's the greatest thing ever, man. That's the greatest thing about that episode. What are you talking about?
I love DeForest Kelly. But the greatest thing was they decided she had, you know, it just happened too soon, and it would have delayed America entering World War II. And by that time, the Nazis were able to get the atomic bomb first.
Mm.
So she had to die. And Kirk had fallen in love for real this time. No space booty call. This was real. He was in love. And he had to sacrifice her for the greater good.
Yeah.
Again, another one. Cried as a little boy when I first saw it.
Oh, man. So many great things about this episode. We get to see Spock play MacGyver. We get to see Spock cover up his ears. Yeah, great stuff in this freaking episode. They get jobs to try to make ends meet. And of course, as you mentioned, Edith Keeler having to... you know, not make it through this episode. So such a great episode all around. I often wonder if the Garden of Ever, if it's too powerful for Star Trek, because obviously, I mean, in Discovery, we know where it is. Don't they intentionally go to the planet to find it?
But it can actually move itself. We did not know that in the original. We know now it can move itself because it did. It wasn't on the same planet they encountered it.
Yeah. I mean, and also in yesteryear, they went from, I think Spock made calculations to actually go through it the first time, or they had to jump, time their jump or whatever, to now. In yesteryear, the animated series episode, they're like actually using it to go where, talking to the gate and going where they want to go. You know, okay. he's their friend now. You know,
can I break your brain on this with some beta cannon?
It's awesome.
You ready?
I don't want my head to hurt. Go ahead.
You do want your head to hurt. You do, because it's awesome. Spock, in one of the books, Spock actually used the Guardian of Forever, ties into another episode. I think one of you mentioned about where Spock went back in time accidentally and he met with the woman Zarabeth and things got a little, you know, and him and McCoy had to return to the future because they weren't meant to be in that time. You have to be prepared so you can now exist in that time they send you to, because this planet was going to die. Well, in the book, they actually use the Guardian Forever to travel back in time. Because Spock learns through history, he had a son with her named Zar that he did not know about. Mm-hmm. And he travels back in time by the Guardian of Forever, helps him travel back in time. And his son's ability, telepathic ability, makes Spock look pitiful. Mm. Like Zar can actually touch the Guardian and interface with it.
Impressive.
It was a great book.
Man, it's so much Star Trek, so many Star Trek books out there. I haven't even began to crack the surface, man. Cool. All right. Well, I think we've got through our favorites. Of course, the chat room is throwing some of their favorites in there. It's been a fun time. Do we have any honorable mentions that you wanted to mention, Larry? You're still turning the pages over there.
I actually did this because my nerdiness obsession got the best of me. I actually ranked my favorite time travel by live action shows. So you already know what my number one for TOS is, because it was my number one. A City on the Edge of Forever. TNG was Yesterday's Enterprise. DS9 was The Visitor. Voyager, of course, was Endgame. But Enterprise Squared, where they go back in time and they meet the crew of the Enterprise that are their descendants. And you meet Trip and T'Pol's son. What?
I do not remember this at all, dude.
Oh, my God. It's a great episode. And they meet Trip, their descendants. Archer meets his descendants. Everybody does.
They all just happen to be on the ship together in the future?
Well, no. They actually, something happens and they get thrown. It's kind of the Deep Space Nine. They use this again. They get thrown back in time when they try to go through a corridor, right? Mm-hmm. And they realize in the future that they can't go back to Earth because it's like almost 30 years before Zefram Cochrane's first flight. Mm-hmm. They'd be contaminating their own history. So they just teach their children and their offspring how to run the ship, and they teach their children. And it even plays perfect because Archer said, when the Zindi had me captive, they kept asking me how many ships were out here because they had seen the other Enterprise. But I did yours, Clarence. That Hope Is You, part one. That was my discovery. That's why I smile when you did that. Star Trek Picard. I just said season two. Because the whole damn thing was a time travel.
Yeah.
And Strange New World, I had to do. TOS, those old scientists.
Oh, and we didn't even mention Q. I think someone may have mentioned it in the chat, but Q messing around with the timeline. He's done tapestry. That a few times.
See, but they never explained, was Tapestry just a near-death experience Picard had, or was Q really there?
Well, you had Tapestry. You had pretty much Picard season two was because of Q. And also you have some what if stuff with the, I mean, we mentioned the Garden of Fever already, but the whole thing with Georgiou was kind of a what if did it really happen type of thing.
And she said it did, because remember she pulled up her little, the futuristic tricorder, and there were 3 months of bio data in it.
Yeah.
So it did. He really did. Yeah, you're right. The Guardian's almost too powerful.
Too powerful, man. But a good trope for storytelling. I mean, honestly, like I said up top, honestly, they can go in back in time anytime they want to, because it's just a known science at this point, which is very problematic, but also cool. So
kind of like Doctor Who just leaving that TARDIS out there, like camouflaged as a tree. I ain't letting that go, Kyle. She just got out. Well, you'll be fine, okay? She just walks off.
You find that more ridiculous than having this piece of technology that can travel time and space, but is stuck in the form of a police box from the early 20th century?
Hashtag Chibnall.
She just left it out there, though. And they said, well, nobody can get in this TARDIS. Okay, people have gotten in the TARDIS a bunch of times, okay? So when the doctor said, nobody can get through those doors. But they have.
But they have, man.
I know it's Star Trek.
Let's mention some of the, I think there's some great stuff in the movies as well. Of course, the Voyage Home, which Marge mentioned, the Whale movie.
Yes.
Generations.
Generations, as well as forgetting the name. What's the Borg movie? The Borg Picard movie?
Oh, First Contact.
First Contact, yeah.
That's the big one.
Oh, that is not the big one. Remember the Abrams movies, also time travel. So,
oh yeah,
the movies are on it.
They're not as good as First Contact.
I don't know, man. The first Star Trek movie with Abrams is pretty darn good, man.
Nah,
get Spock coming back,
but
to meet Spock.
Just remember, they travel back, and we get to meet this guy who strangely is Zefram Cochrane, but he looked like a bunch of other people from Star Trek. I wonder how that happened.
Hey, we got to reuse actors, man.
Hey, man, we do. But I'm telling you, but that was so good. What's your favorite part? That was one of the first times they ever utilized characters from multiple shows. We had the guy that plays Neelix was also in that movie on the holodeck.
Yeah.
We also had the doctor from Voyager.
Yeah. EMH.
In that movie. And we got Worf, who was at that time on DS9.
Oh, that's what we like to call synergy, man. Synergy. Let's bring it back.
It's all good.
And Marge, we would go into What's a TARDIS, but Kyle would have us here for another 5 hours because he would pontificate forever.
Indeed.
Oh, boy. Well, that's been a fun conversation, guys. And, man, I'm going to go back through here and make a list, because I have to go back and watch these DS9 episodes. Honestly, I try to go back and watch each series, at least go back and watch one per year, and DS9 I have not visited in quite some time. So I need to go back and watch DS9 again, I feel. I'm trying to make it through an animated series right now. Wish me luck. I'm having fun with it, though, because that yesterday episode was amazing to me. So
when we end this, y'all have got to give me, because two of y'all episodes, I honest to God don't remember, but I am going to watch them on my days off.
All right. Well, I will say, everybody in the chat, it's fun to have you here. I enjoyed you guys chiming in, and I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Don't forget to let us know the ones you love the most. I think you guys have been pretty on it in the chat on that so far. So it's been a lot of fun. Really appreciate it. Guys, you have anything you want to plug or talk about before we get out of here? Larry, you like, you're laughing at something. What do you want to talk about, sir?
I'm just laughing at all everybody in the chat. It's just awesome.
Kyle, do we have anything in the Doctor Who world coming up that you want to plug, sir?
Nothing except the new series coming in May. But I will say, this is totally not Doctor Who related, but of course, check out Discussing Who at discussingwho.com. But if you like police procedurals, things like NCIS and Law and Order, et cetera, and so forth, highly recommend a show called Silent Witness. You can find it on BritBox in the US. I'm on season 26 now, so I'm almost completely caught up. Awesome, 26. Awesome series. It's 26. Wow. Yes.
That's a slog, man.
I will plug what I'm watching right now. If you are so in cut, and I never played the game, But the second season of Halo is out on Paramount, since I have it for Star Trek, and I am loving it.
Yeah, I haven't started watching season two yet. I semi-enjoyed season one. Of course, there's differences. I mean, it's the whole Mandalorian trope. He's running around with his helmet off. Like, why you have your helmet off so much? But it's okay. The first season,
the Mandalorian didn't take his helmet off near as much as the Chief does. But, you know, I'm okay with that, because I got to be honest, I think it's silly to try to, because in the video game, you are him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to take his helmet off because you're him. And on a TV show, it would just look kind of dumb of one of the guys walking around with a helmet on all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It would look silly.
And you get somebody, I mean, when you go to The Mandalorian, you get somebody like Pedro Pascal and want to keep a helmet on the whole time.
That's the greatest job ever, that you're the Mandalorian. All you have to do is do some voice work. You don't even have to be in the costume.
Nah, this is the way. Real quick, I think Carrie hates. Have you seen season two, Carrie, for Halo? I know Carrie is a huge Halo stan. I mean, he read the books back in the day. He was hardcore. Carrie's my brother, by the way. He was freaking hardcore Halo back in the day.
Hey, so Carrie.
He's been reading the books from the beginning. And
I didn't. And I didn't play the game. And that's why I went in totally fresh. But I'm going to say this, and Carrie can probably. Carrie, I hate the Rebel storyline. I do not care about Quan at all.
Yeah, that's not in the game. I don't think
it shouldn't be in the show either.
But I think we're going to get Fall of Reach in season two. Spoilers.
We are.
And it's going to be amazing. And with that, guys, we will go ahead and wrap up. Thank you guys for joining us. It's been a lot of fun, as I've said before. And yeah, thank you for coming along. And we will see you guys next time. Live long and prosper. Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.
Can I say that like Shut Up Wesley? I can just go Shut Up Clarence?